Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. A few conversations this hour about moral thresholds that maybe are being overtaken by events. Ethical hair splitting or legitimate points of action? We'll find out. We'll explore that this hour. Also, a look at how you can spy on your fat neighbors down the street. Not really, but some researchers are using Facebook data to peer into a community's eating habits and wellness. But we begin with the situation in Syria. More than 70,000 people killed in the past 2 years. In a nation of 22 million, that would be equivalent to a million dead in the United States. There is only certainty about the carnage taking place in Syria right now. But yesterday at President Obama's news conference, the discussion was about uncertainty over the use of chemical weapons.
If I can establish the use of chemical weapons by the Assad regime, then that is a game changer, because what that portends is potentially even more devastating attacks on civilians. And it raises the strong possibility that those chemical weapons can fall into the wrong hands and get disseminated in ways that would threaten U.S. security or the security of our allies.
President Obama said we are getting closer to some kind of certainty, and that he said would change his calculations.
What we now have is evidence that chemical weapons have been used inside of Syria, but we don't know how they were used, when they were used, who used them. We don't have a chain of custody that establishes what exactly happened.
We want to explore this further with someone we've spoken to a lot about the situation in Syria. Shadi Hamid is director of research at the Brookings Doha Center. Welcome back to the show, Shadi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So two things. One, let's talk a little bit about the chain of custody and how difficult this is to establish. And then let's get to the issue of what kind of a threshold is this use of chemical weapons when you already have nearly 100,000 people dead in the nation of Syria? Chain of custody first.
Well, when I first saw the term chain of custody, I wasn't entirely sure what that meant either. And that's part of the problem. We're hearing this kind of excruciating diplomatic language. What Obama is getting at, though, is this question of who is using these chemical weapons? How did it get into their hands? Who, where, when, why? The problem with that is there's usually not a smoking gun when it comes to chemical weapon use. So the threshold is being set very high, and there's a question of how long it will take to find that level of conclusive evidence. And considering how many people are dying on a daily basis, there isn't a lot of time here.
So do you think it is splitting hairs here ethically to make such an enormous deal about chemical weapons? I mean, they are weapons of mass destruction, but we're already in a mass casualty zone here in Syria.
Yeah, I think this chemical weapons red line debate is a distraction from what really matters. There's already been more than 70,000 people slaughtered and many more tortured and raped and disappeared. The real question that I'm struggling with is, why is chemical weapons a red line, but the slaughter of 70,000 isn't? And I think that sends a very problematic message to Syrians and to the Arab world, that U.S. security trumps everything else. And I think Obama even said that in his statements. First, he said that there could be even more devastating attacks on civilians. But the second part, I think, is more relevant, that the chemical weapons could get in the hands of terrorists, and that would be a real threat to U.S. security. So that's what we're talking about here. That's the real concern.
So do people in the region view this chemical weapons language exercise as really a stalling tactic, that the U.S. is going to cling to the ambiguity because it really doesn't want to get involved?
I think that's the perception across the board. It's extremely clear. This is not an administration that wants anything to do with Syria, and they're going to put off acting for as long as possible. And I think, you know, Obama sees his legacy as ending two wars and extracting America from the Middle East, not going in more with more military intervention. So I think that is the perception. But I think there's also a bigger thing here, is the moral leadership aspect. Yes, there's a lot of anti-Americanism in the Middle East, but they're in their time of need, Syrian rebels, protesters, others in the opposition, they look to the U.S. for moral leadership, and they ask, why isn't the U.S. doing more to stop the slaughter? We saw the same thing in Libya, where the country was on the verge of a wide-scale massacre, and people were asking, why can't the U.S. come in? Eventually, the U.S. did, but those same questions are being asked in the Syrian case. Why isn't 70, 80, 90,000 Syrian lives enough for this administration? Where do you draw the line? Because it could conceivably keep on going up. If this continues for another 1 to 3 years, let's say, we could be seeing casualty counts 150,000 and higher. And is there ever going to be a point where we say this is simply too much killing?
So, I mean, is there an incentive for chemical weapons to be used? Has the administration painted themselves into a corner where somewhere, someone inside Syria is going to see this as an opportunity to get the U.S. involved? And there's a more likelihood that they would be used based on all this rhetoric.
If we're looking at it from the regime's standpoint, what they're doing now is testing the U.S. response. They're seeing how close they can get to this so-called red line before there's real international outrage. So, as far as we can tell, there has been some chemical weapon use, and that hasn't been enough to bring the U.S. in. So I think the regime has actually gotten a good sense of where the limits are, and they're going to keep on going right to the edge and testing the American response. That's why I think it's very unlikely that they'll use them on a more widespread scale, because that could actually bring the U.S. in, and that's not what the Syrian regime wants, because when it comes to a head-to-head military fight with U.S. air power, that's a fight that the Syrian regime would almost certainly lose.
Shadi Hamid, Director of Research at the Brookings Doha Center, thanks as always.
Thanks for having me.